Welcome to Commons and Chronicles, the podcast where we talk about all the best Creative Commons and reusable open game license content. If you need resources for your creative writing, game design, or you just love lore, Commons and Chronicles is for you. Hi everyone, it's Klaatu. I'll be covering The Gods of Porphyra from The Gods of Porphyra by Purple Duck Publishing. That's available from drivethruhrpg.com/product/102872. It's well worth picking up a copy of it. The PDF version is under $10, and you can also get the print-on-demand softcover version and the PDF for just under $20. The first god we're going to cover is a goddess called Elleria, A-L-E-R-I-A. She's known for the love of life. She is the goddess specifically of beauty, healing, and plants. Her alignment is lawful good. Good, you might expect. Lawful kind of depends on your view, I guess, of agriculture. Her domains are charm, good, healing, and plant. And then her subdomains are archon, growth, love, and restoration. And it's probably worth mentioning now, and I might have to mention it again later, but it's up front. I'm just going to note that the domains in the Porphyra setting are not necessarily the same as the domains in either D&D or in Pathfinder. While this was written for Pathfinder, and it says that each of the gods of Porphyra can grant four different domains and four subdomains, some deities of Porphyra grant domains and subdomains beyond those detailed in the core rulebook, the Pathfinder core rulebook, or the Advanced Player's Guide. The cleric class starts on page 38 of the core rulebook, with the domain information starting on page 41. Elleria's domains, her primary domains, are charm, good, healing, and plant, and you may recognize those from the core rulebook. Those are all standard Pathfinder domains. Her subdomains are archon, growth, love, and restoration. The story of Elleria is, I guess, a little bit tragic at first, but she ascends into godhood, so it ultimately has a happy ending. But as a child, Elleria grew up in a small farming village that was going through some rough times, and some kind of, it says drought in the text, and I'm not really sure what they mean by drought, because the story is involving the villagers bringing in the crops against an oncoming frost. So I don't know if they mean a drought in the sense of an unnatural, sort of almost maybe magical or cursed sudden frost was approaching, or what they mean. But apparently there was a big harvest one year, and there was, for some reason, frost approaching, and apparently this caught the villagers by surprise, and so they were struggling, working just day from dawn till dusk to harvest, to bring in the harvest before the frost approached. They could barely keep themselves going. I mean, they would work all day, they would sleep very little, and then the next day they would get up and continue the harvest. It just wasn't working out for them. The frost was approaching with far too much still left in the field. But one night, a shooting star blazed across the sky that night, and the sky darkened at sunset with clouds of birds. The next morning, the villagers awoke to find that one girl, named Elleria, was missing from her bed. She wasn't in her normal place, and they couldn't find her. But the moment that they stepped outside into the fields, they realized that the harvest had been completed, apparently overnight, and there were small footprints of a child on the hardened ground. And they soon found, in the center of the empty fields, Elleria, the child, lying as if asleep, but she had died at dawn from exhaustion, having brought in all of the harvest herself, or maybe with the help of the mysterious birds that had arrived. It doesn't really specify. But she was surrounded, her body was surrounded by softly singing meadowlarks. So because of her sacrifice, her devotion, and her commitment to the earth and to family, The village was blessed, and the spirit of Illyria guided and guarded her home for years before rising to join the other gods on high. It was at that point that Illyria started to become more than just a goddess of the harvest, and developed into a goddess really of new life, and that of course sort of brought in love, romantic love, as well as just sort of communal love. So her churches tend to be roadside shrines or small outdoor altars near romantic sites, like a lakeside retreat or on a hillside where young lovers might go to stargaze. There aren't really any official, or there may be some, but there aren't many official churches for Illyria, but that's by choice. Her worship thrives among the faithful rather than being sort of co-opted and cooped up into stuffy ecclesiastical buildings away from the soul and soil. Gardeners who obey the tenets of Illyria and keep a range of natural prairie or high grasses for her meadowlarks find that their flowers bloom more fully, their crops are healthier, and likewise lovers who put their faith in Illyria are often blessed with miracles of their own. Fertile fields and large families abound in the service of Illyria. This is sort of her mark, and it is why she is called Illyria, the love of life. So a couple of things about being a cleric of Illyria. The priests of Illyria consider dawn to be a sacred time, so they prepare their spells, generally, at dawn. They have different ways of preparing spells, and I gather that the religion is unstructured and unorganized enough that it just depends on where they are, you know, what makes sense for them, what dawn means to their community. But they do have in common the Meadowlark's Hymn, a mental prayer that lasts a minute and is accompanied by a melodic bird song. There are two specific spells that can be associated with following Illyria, obviously at the Dungeon Master's discretion, but one is the Passion's Rapture. Once per day, you may touch a loved one, like a close friend or a romantic interest or a family member, and do one of the following. You can either heal yourself for 1d4 hit points and gain a +1 trait bonus to your next saving throw, or you can immediately reroll a failed saving throw against fear or charm. And the other spell is Nurturing Sacrifice. Using your Sacred Star Knife, you may take a full round action to bleed yourself for 4 hit points of damage over a 10-foot square area of soil or natural earth. Almost druidic. For the next day, any normal rest taken in this area heals the 2 additional hit points, and all heal or profession farmer checks that are made here receive a +1 trait bonus. And I probably should have mentioned that Illyria's favored weapon is a star knife. Illyria's icon, the iconography associated with Illyria, at least on the page in the book, are 2 meadowlarks sitting on a branch, facing opposite directions, but looking back at one another, sort of beak to beak. It sort of looks like maybe a butterfly reminiscent of Desna's icon, or if you prefer, a heart shape, kind of makes the shape of a heart. And that's everything for Illyria that is in the Gods of Porphyra book, or Porphyra book, and I think it's a pretty good start. This is an interesting goddess because she starts as a human, so she wasn't spawned of other gods, she wasn't created by some greater god, she was a human who ascended into godhood. And from the text, I gather that she ascended into godhood later than her death. She didn't die and then become a god. She died, hung around her village to sort of protect it and offer guidance, and then ascended into godhood. So that's kind of an interesting story that kind of longs to be told, I think. What was Illyria up to after death but before godhood? Kind of makes you wonder. It must have been something particularly special and significant, because I feel like she developed from not just being goddess of the harvest, but of love and growth and family. I think the romantic in me wants it to be sort of a love story between between some local village hero and Illyria as she grew after death into womanhood, and maybe some kind of tragedy that kept them apart. I mean, one such tragedy would be that she was already dead, so that would be something, but maybe his soul got trapped somewhere so that they could never be united even after death. I think that would be a really intriguing story to hear more of. Either way, I think what we have is a beautiful story for a beautiful domain. So that's again from Gods of Porphyra, which is available at drivethroughrpg.com/product/102872. That's 102872. Next time we will close out our cycle of lawful good gods with Tomoth Thule, the King of Kings. This is a big one, so stay tuned. That's it for this week's episode. Thank you very much for listening. My name is Klaatu. You can reach me via email at klaatu@member.fsf.org. You can also usually catch me in IRC as not Klaatu. I'm on the Freenode network. Thank you very much for listening, and I'll talk to you next time.